You are on Radio Tacoma's Climate 360.
And I'm your host, John Doherty, where we take a 360-degree look at climate here and around the world in 360 seconds or less. So let's get right to it. Let's start right off with a pop quiz. What world industry is second to fossil fuels in terms of pollution? Time's up, pencils down. It's the fashion industry. That industry has been making promises for 25 years about being sustainable, and they have failed miserably in that effort. Garments are made from non-biodegradable petroleum-based synthetics. Dyes and other toxins are cheerfully dumped into rivers around the world by their profit-seeking corporations. People seeking to stay on the leading edge of fashion wear their clothes a few times and then toss them to be burned or dumped in landfills. Give them to Goodwill? Almost all clothing given to Goodwill ends up being burned or being recycled into things like industrial rags or insulation. Less than 1% of all clothing is recycled in new garments. This from the Harvard Business Review, quoting, "Governments need to step in to force companies to pay for their negative impact on the planet," end quote. My comment, the industry has certainly proven they aren't going to become more responsible on their own. And note to self, buy natural fiber traditional clothing and wear it until it wears out.
Good news, bad news.
Good news. There's a concept nicknamed the 15-minute city. The 15-minute city is an urban planning concept where neighborhoods provide residents with the basic things they need, shops, schools, parks, leisure options, healthcare, within a 15-minute radius by foot, bike, or roll. Cuts down on pollution and makes neighborhoods less car dependent and more livable and less polluted. Redmond, Washington is in the process of revamping an outdated, car-dominated suburban community into a place that's easier to get around on foot, bike, or transit, and people are moving to this new downtown because of the people-centric changes. Redmond is a nation-leading model of the charms of that kind of city.
Mythbuster time.
But uh-oh. Believe it or not, but a myth about 15-minute cities has broken out, promulgated by the "Don't Tread on Me" crowd that holds that a 15-minute city is a conspiracy to prohibit people from moving around freely, that giving space devoted to pedestrians and bikes is an infringement on motorists' rights that will eventually lead to folks being prohibited from traveling outside their neighborhoods, which points up a key problem, and that is that lies are almost always more interesting than the truth, especially ones that grab us by the amygdala. And mostly unsaid in all this, our polluted cities and suburbs are dominated by cars because of city planning and zoning of years past. Hey, while we're talking about myths, let's talk about a massive myth that's hiding in plain sight. A myth cleverly created, not by the usual conspiracy suspects, but by the packaging industry itself. And that myth, simply put, says that we can manage packaging waste, especially plastic, by recycling. You see the markings all over the place. Please recycle. The chasing arrow symbol on plastic with a number inside. The manufacturers of the plastics in particular purposely saying, if there's plastics pollution, it's your fault for not recycling, not ours. The truth is that plastics recycling is not working. A lot of plastic is just not recyclable, either because of natural limitations or economic limitations, and most of that which is recyclable doesn't make it into the recycling system. And the plastic that does make it into the system can only be recycled a few times before it's waste that can't be recycled further. So, a simple fact, every bit of plastic made ends up polluting our environment. And that little symbol in the plastic and the notes that plead, please recycle, have nothing to do with whether an item is recyclable or not. And the manufacturers of plastic know this. So you're worried about our planet's and our species' future. One of the best antidotes to worry and pessimism is to take action. If you found your niche, great. If not, you may be asking, what can I do? I'm going to suggest you reframe that sometimes poignant question to, what am I going to do? The people I see who have gone from worry to action with the greatest success have chosen a niche that they are well suited for temperamentally and experience-wise. They have shopped organizations looking for one they feel simpatico with, and with that, they've gone for it. Case in point, I was chatting with a volunteer at Point Defiance Park recently. His niche is being part of an effort to catalog invasive plants in the park. There is a multi-year plan to eradicate those plants. He loves being out in the open, loves the park, uses technology he's familiar with as part of the mapping process. He's making a difference, and he's finding that difference he's making fulfilling and rewarding, plus making a great bunch of friends with like-minded attitudes towards the park. Maybe you can find something like that too. And finally, Las Vegas bettors have Trump winning at 34.2% and Biden at 31.3%. I don't even want to think what happens to climate change mitigation if that's the case on Election Day. And that's your Climate 360.